Hey there! Sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 129th episode of Thea's Tea. Thanks for tuning in! Fun fact, I'm actually recording this episode where the podcast was born, where I recorded the very first episode ever, all in one go, no pauses. It was just me talking straight for like half an hour with no interruptions. It's my mom's room in my grandparents' house, which is where we stayed for a bit of the lockdown in 2020. Wow, that takes me back. Anyways, for this episode's tea talk, I am drinking my favorite beverage of all time, with which I have rekindled my love for in these past few days here in Colombia. It's just been so incredibly hot, and I feel like this beverage is so refreshing, so tasty, so sweet. I know it's not very good for you, but it's my obsession, and it is iced tea. Literally the kind that you buy the powder and you mix it with water. I love that stuff. I always like to accompany it with crushed ice cubes. I love crushed ice cubes. I feel like they're the best kind because they're small enough that they'll like melt quickly, which is what I like because I always want them to kind of dilute my beverage. And you can kind of munch on them as you go because they're not super big. They're not like a mouthful. So yeah, I just love crushed ice cubes. And it's one of the things that I really miss at France because my mini fridge does not make ice, nonetheless crush it. So having it here feels like a real luxury. And not to brag, but I always get applauded on how my iced tea turns out whenever people come over to my house or in parties where I make iced tea. Everybody loves it. And it just makes me so happy that they can share the obsession over this drink that I have. And as for the cup I'm drinking it in, it's this Starbucks tumbler that my grandma bought when she went to visit me in France this year. It is literally gorgeous. It's stunning. It's white. It's tall. It's got a green lid, the green Starbucks logo, but it's got like these little flakes that are green, pink, and like cream. And they just look so cool. They give the cup like a really unique effect. It's kind of like these oddly shaped specks that kind of look as if you had you know that paper that's like see-through but colored that people use to like wrap gifts? It kind of looks as if you have that and you cut it in random shapes and you coated the whole cup in like glue, like transparent, like the Elmer's glue, and then you just randomly put some specks all over the place. It obviously isn't like that because it has no texture, but that's kind of what the effect makes me think of. So yeah, that's my detailed tea talk. Moving on to the life update, there is one big thing that I have to report, and it's that I got my septum pierced. Listen, I had been toying around with this idea for over a year. I thought this piercing looked really cool, but I was very iffy about it because it's obviously a face piercing, and you know, like job interviews and things like that, people say that employers don't like it when you have tattoos or piercings or things like that. So that was like what really stopped me, and also the fact that I didn't want to like ruin like my good girl appearance. I know that sounds ridiculous, but yeah, just like sweet girl I guess. And I guess the septum piercing kind of does give an edge, but it's an edge that I want, it's an edge that I like. And I feel like if anything, I mean, I hope it makes me look more approachable because, you know, when people, like, I know that in my case, before I got my septum pierced and I saw somebody with their septum pierced, it would always be, like, a good conversation starter, like, oh my gosh, you have your septum pierced, I want to get it pierced, did it hurt, blah, blah, blah. And I know this happens with kind of, like, any piercing, but since I felt so drawn to it, it was my case. So, yeah, I got it pierced. It was a very painful experience. The lady had to redo it, like, 3 times because it wasn't centered. And then she had to like change the ring because I wanted a smaller one. And since it wasn't centered, a smaller one could kind of like mask that. And it plays like an optical illusion, kind of. I shed a couple of tears. I have never shed tears with any piercing or tattoo, but this was the occasion. But overall, it was a very fun experience. I'm so happy to have it. I'll randomly just like look at myself in the mirror and see it and be like, oh my gosh, I accomplished this dream of mine. It still kind of hurts. It's still in the healing process. And I sometimes forget it's there and, you know, like rub my nose or touch my nose or something and am achingly reminded of the fact that it's fresh. But yeah, overall, it's been a super fun experience. I'm so happy to have done it. No regrets in my heart, which is a very good thing because imagine after like debating it for 1 year and then finally getting it, feeling regret. No, I'm very happy that I did get it. So yeah, that was a major event in my life. Something else is that I'm currently at my grandparents' house as I briefly mentioned, they live in the countryside and I came to spend a week with them here. I kind of viewed it as like a spiritual retreat because, you know, I'm going away from the city, from all the chaos, you know, the kind of like fast-paced life that I've had the past few weeks there, you know, constantly going out with my friends, doing this, doing that, running all over the place, to just chill with them, spend some quality time with them. And it has been so, so fun. One of my, not goals, but like one of the things I wanted to do here over the summer was to just visit a lot of like villages in the country. And grandparents definitely took me up on that. Yesterday, we went to visit 3 new villages that we had never been to before. And it was just such a fun experience, you know, blasting music from like their times in the car and all of us singing to it together, and you know, like having coffee in these little like town squares, seeing the people, the pretty buildings, the pretty flowers. It was very fun, and I'm glad that they took like so to heart this thing that I wanted to do and just made sure that I got the experience I wanted and took it upon themselves to really make that happen. It was just so sweet. So yeah, we did that. We also went to the river. There's a river here and I just love, you know, swimming in it and going there. So I went with my grandma to like some of like her side of the family, so we went there and it was a very fun experience. Obviously there like isn't a lot of like Wi-Fi in these places, so it's been really good to just kind of like try to push myself to disconnect a little bit, not be on my phone so much, not be constantly refreshing WhatsApp or like Instagram and all of those things, and just kind of like take a step back. That has been very good for me, even if I'm sometimes like reluctant to it. So that's been really nice. And also just like, you know, spending time with my grandparents. I mean, I'm very close with them. And when I was in France, I would call my grandma every day and we would talk. But for instance, with my grandpa, we get along really well, but we wouldn't talk that often. So just like being able to catch up with them, have like conversations, talk about life, talk about what's going on with us, what we've learned and everything, I feel like has been really special, especially since, you know, like I'm growing up, I'm getting like more worldviews, just knowing that we could have more like in-depth and meaningful conversations than the ones we would have a couple of years ago is exciting for me. And I also imagine that it may be exciting for them, and to just kind of see me and like the other grandchildren grow up and evolve, I just feel like that must be a really interesting part of life for them. And I'm glad to like be like have an active role in that, you know. So yeah, I must admit, at the beginning, I wasn't very excited to come because, you know, it would mean like a few days where I wouldn't see my friends, where I wouldn't be able to like go out and do the things that I usually do. But literally within one day of being here, I was so happy to just be doing like different things, you know, have time to do different things, spending time with my grandparents, you know, like such quality time. And yeah, I just really came to appreciate all of it. And yeah, to just kind of like take a step back, feel the quiet a bit more, you know, get out of like the apartment and everything. It has been a really nice experience, and I'm sorry that at the beginning I kind of like not took it for granted, but just was kind of, yeah, like wasn't that excited for it. But now I'm just like so happy to be here. So that pretty much sums up the main life events over the past week. I feel like the titles of the last to like last episode and this one seem kind of dramatic and depressing, but I promise, well, maybe this one a bit and the last one a bit as well, but like I don't mean for them to be like super sad. I feel like maybe they are sad, difficult topics, but I feel like I need to talk about them, and maybe some of you guys need to listen to this. So yeah, I feel like especially this one is kind of difficult for me to talk about because it's something that I carry so close to my heart. And also planning this episode, I mean, it's weird because when I wrote it down on the list of podcast ideas a couple of weeks ago, it felt like such an important, relevant thing that I was experiencing and going through. And I was like, yeah, 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 I have so much to say about this. And then when I was planning it, I was like, I really, like, I don't know what to say. So I did experience a bit of like writer's block with that. But hopefully you take something away from this and find something meaningful in this episode. And kind of relating to that, as I mentioned, when I wrote it on the list, it felt like very, not pressing, but like pertinent matter to discuss. And then a couple of weeks passed by and I recorded the other ideas I had thought about first. And so when the time came to plan and record this episode, I kind of felt like it was outdated because I did touch a bit on it on the episode on creativity, like in the life update. I mentioned a couple of things from that. Even I think the quote I took from that episode and that I posted on the Instagram wasn't like directly related to the content of the episode itself, but just like a tangent I went on regarding the fleeting nature of life. But I just feel like it's something so important, something that I always come back to in my life, that I did want to record its own episode, even if I do repeat some of the things I said in that other episode or in like previous episodes of the podcast. I just wanted to like connect all of those thoughts in their own like little capsule. And even if I did feel like it was a bit outdated, the recent experiences I've had with my grandparents these past few days really made me realize that it's not as outdated or as dealt with or like as overcome as I thought. Because these past few days, as I said, I've spent a lot of quality time with my grandparents and I've just had meaningful conversations with them and I've connected with them and we've bonded and we've done things together and I've just felt really special in their eyes and so grateful that, you know, like I was blessed with them as my grandparents. And it just kind of got me thinking, you know, our time here is limited and, you know, they're growing and maybe there's not a lot of time left with them. And I'm so lucky to like have my grandparents alive at the age of 19 and to get along so well with them and to be able to experience so much with them. I know that's a privilege many people don't have. So just like here, I'm so lucky. And yeah, that really gets me thinking of like, you know, how my time with them is limited. And you don't really know when your last moment with them will be and when your last memories with them will be. And I'm just so happy that I'm making these current memories with them right now. And I'm so happy to be living in this present moment. But there's part of me that feels sad about that, you know, for all the reasons I just said. So all in all, maybe this is the perfect time for me to be talking about the fleeting nature of life. The phrase I truly believe will carry this episode is the quote from a couple of episodes back, which is, I can't wait for my life to move forward, but also want it to stay still. And I feel like that really characterizes just my view on my life at the moment and how I'm so happy to be where I am right now. And I wouldn't change it for the world, except I kind of would because I know that what's coming next is exciting and there are good things in the works. And that also gets me thinking about the past and how the past was also incredible. And I'm so lucky to have lived it, but I'm also so sad to no longer be living it. But I'm also so happy to be where I am now. And it's just a mixture of so many good things and all the sadness that evokes for knowing that even though I was so happy to have lived those things, I'm sad that it's over. And I feel like I've always really connected with this because when I first opened Instagram like 10 years ago when I was a little girl, you know, just like figuring out this app, I remember my bio for the longest time was, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. And I feel like that really spoke to me at that young age because for as long as I can remember, I've always struggled on with like kind of letting go of things and, you know, living good experiences because they're so fun in the moment, but once they're over you just feel sad about the fact that it's over. So I feel like this is something that that's always been circling in my mind. And that quote about not wanting life to move forward really applies to this particular moment of my life where I just finished my first year at university in France and I'm back home in Colombia and I'm just so happy to be here once again in my home, reconnecting with everything after like 10 months away, and I wouldn't change this for the world. But at the same time, I'm kind of excited to go back to Bordeaux, my other home, you know, go back to my apartment, my little routines, my mundane things, my friends, my classes. And I know that I'll be devastated and crushed the day I leave, but like a week into being back in Bordeaux, I'll be fine and almost even like happy and excited and thrilled to be there. But it's just I want to feel both stages so intensely and be so present and like intentional in both of them that it feels inevitable to have like a stage of grief after each period. And that quote can also be applied in a larger context, for instance, that of my studies. My undergraduate degree is 3 years long. I just did one. This upcoming year, I will also live in Bordeaux. The last one, I go on an exchange. Who knows where, so that's exciting, but again, it's just 1 year, so I'll have to be present during that year because, you know, that's it. And then my master's, who knows where I'll do it, who knows where I'll be. So it just really gets me thinking that each stage of my life in the upcoming years is really going to be temporary and kind of like short-lived. So I really have to make the most of it while I'm living it because I feel like it's all changing so fast. All of this episode really gets me thinking to an episode that I did a while back called Nostalgia, and I feel like that picks up once again on all of the feelings that I've discussed and that I've mentioned feeling since I was little. And once again, maybe it's a bit repetitive, but honestly, I don't really remember what I mentioned in that episode. So if you're interested in this, then maybe you can listen to that one as well, especially since at that moment I was going through, I guess, a pivotal moment of my life. Now maybe I have like some new insights, and I don't know, I feel like it would be fun to compare and contrast kind of like how my perspective on essentially the feeling of nostalgia, because this episode is also going to be talking a lot about nostalgia, has evolved over time, and how I'm experiencing nostalgia right now after my first year of college versus when I was finishing high school. So in this episode, we will be talking about what the fleeting nature of life looks like to me. I'll be talking about what I guess the point of life really is, why this experience is so painful for me, and why I feel like maybe I experience it in an intense way. And lastly, what helps me deal with these big emotions and kind of like make peace with all of that. I feel like the very point of life is that it's fleeting and that it's always moving forward. If moments were eternal, we wouldn't have to appreciate them. If we knew something would last forever, why would we need to enjoy it or experience it if we knew that we'd perpetually be going through it, you know? I feel like the fact that we know that a moment is temporary is what pushes us to make the most of it, because we want to have intense memories of it later down the line when we're looking back on it. It's the knowing that we won't be in this moment forever that pushes us to live it in a way that we can remember it. That's what I experience in my day to day, trying to sort of take mental pictures of what I'm doing and just remember the feelings and connect with the feelings, even if they're kind of uncomfortable, because I know that's what's going to stick with me for the rest of my life. It also gets me thinking on this book of like, oh, it's called The Art of Making Memories by Mike Wiegig. I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong. He basically says that in order to make meaningful memories, something that you can kind of like a way that you can hack that basically is by going through new experiences. Because when you're experiencing something new, all of your senses are kind of like more alert. And what you end up recalling are those senses, you know, like smells, colors, you know, things like that. So a way to trick yourself kind of into living more memories is to expose yourself to new experiences. And in my case, I feel like it's that sensory experience that I'm after, just really trying to heighten my senses in the present moment so that I'll have more things to carry along with me, you know, like for what comes next in my life. And the thing is, I feel like I've had very distinct and also several phases of my life, partially due to the fact that, you know, I grew up traveling. So in my mind, there's like the experience in Egypt, the experience in Jordan, the experience in Colombia. And they're obviously all like very distinct between one another. And maybe as I grew up, or, you know, for instance, when I was in Colombia for such a long time, the lines may have blurred a bit, or like the transitions are a bit fuzzy and it's not very clear when one of these phases ended and the other began. But I can still attest to the fact that I feel like I have clear phases in my life. And I just honestly look back on all of them in such a tender way. I feel like they were also special and memorable. And don't get me wrong, there were like some traumatic or darker ones. But even those I look back to with tenderness, I guess is the word. And like with gratitude, I do feel like that towards the end, all of them were exceptionally good. And so I've just really gotten used to like looking back on them in that way. And another thing is that when I first left Colombia and, you know, when I started building my life in France, I remember, and I talked about this a lot on the podcast, and it's also kind of the reason that I stopped the podcast for a bit, I would really idealize those last months that I had in Colombia. And then I feel like there was a part of me that's like, when am I going to stop idealizing this part of my life? Like, was that my peak? And then with time, I feel like that just naturally left. Like, I naturally, little by little, stopped idealizing that period of my life so much and started enjoying, you know, my life now in France. And now that I'm here on holiday in Colombia, enjoying this time in Colombia, knowing that it's a holiday and that it's not my complete life. So I feel like that really attests to the evolution of memories in your life and how life is fleeting. And as it progresses, things that are further away in your past kind of lose the magnitude they once had. That's really what I want to highlight. And I guess on one hand, it's kind of sad because it's like, oh, like, how sad is it for things to just kind of like become smaller? But in this particular case, I think it was a good thing because it let me live more in the present and focus on what was right in front of me without kind of like pitying myself for the past and what I had lost and everything. Which goes to show the resilient nature of human beings and how we inevitably can adapt to the circumstances we're put in. Okay, I'm quite happy with how I described all of that, and I think the idea is clear. So moving on a bit, another thing that really concerns me with this is how I kind of feel like I'm alone in all of this. I have not met a person who is as concerned about the progression of life and how fleeting everything is and wanting to hold on so intensely to each present moment, but also wanting to experience all the moments in the past and in the future as I have, or I don't even remember how that sentence started. But I do kind of feel like I am alone in experiencing all of this in such an intense form. And it's not to like, you know, like brag or be like, oh my gosh, like I'm so in touch with my feelings, but just I'm wondering if there's anybody else out there who experiences something similar to this or who can kind of attest to what I'm talking about, or if I'm the only person that is like so caught up in how life is evolving and just wanting so deeply to grasp every moment of that because I feel like it's so valuable. For instance, I remember in the last year of high school, I was very sentimental. You know, I was like, oh, this is the last time we're gonna do this, or like, this is the last year we'll all be together, you know, like having our snack in this corridor and hearing the bell and taking all these classes together and like living in the school atmosphere with all of this gossip, you know, like being with these teachers. You know, I was very sentimental, and with every event I was like, oh my gosh, this is the last time we do this, blah blah blah. And I just remember that entire year was kind of like me mourning the present, which was weird because on the last day it seemed to really like hit everyone and everyone was crying and all of that. But I had been grieving for an entire year, so when it all came to an end on that last day, I had really like made peace with most of it, and so I didn't cry. But that made it look as if I cared much less than the girls who were crying, but in reality I think I cared much more, and that was the reason that I had been dealing with it for the entire year, and that by the time the year ended I had already like dealt with all of those feelings. So that's just an interesting experience I recall. So if the very purpose of life is the fact that the moments are fleeting, why does that make me so upset? I feel like there's a part of me that kind of dreads and fears that what follows will be worse. So that leads me to not want to let go of the present moment just in case that was as good as it was going to get, and to not have to face what could be worse afterwards. That could be a part of it, but we'll see a bit later how that kind of contradicts another of the reasons I have, but I still imagine that could be one of the potential underlying reasons. And the other side is that I feel like one of the reasons it could hurt so much and that the day-to-day life experience for me can kind of be painful is because a part of me thinks I'm not making the most of these moments. I know, and I talked about this in the creativity episode, I remember, but I know that it's impossible to like max out every moment of your existence. And part of life is the fact that there are kind of like these filler moments or these moments that aren't so interesting and intense, because that's what allows the intense moments to stand out more. And yeah, you just can't live a super intense life all of the time. But in those down moments, in those kind of boring moments, I just feel like if I'm not doing something memorable, it's me contributing to kind of like seeing my life pass in front of me without really making it memorable, you know? And that deeply disturbs me because it's nobody else's responsibility but your own to make your life as memorable as you want, you know? So if at a given moment you don't make an effort to do something interesting, then that's on you. And it's on you that you won't have any recollection of August 18th, 2023 because you didn't put the effort into doing something to make it memorable. But at the same time, I know that even if you did live an intense life 24/7, it would be impossible to have all of those moments be memorable because, as I said, what makes moments memorable are the less memorable moments around them that make it stand out. So I could really go like back and forth with this, you know, like a ping pong game being like, oh, but you can make it intense, but no, then it wouldn't be intense, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because like intellectually, I know that I'm living a good life and that these filler moments shouldn't make me feel as guilty as they do. But there's a part of me that's like, what if? That's kind of annoying. But I guess going back to like the main point of why this hurts so much, I guess the best way for me to describe this hurt sensation is basically, and I've talked about this in the past as well, the ache of knowing I'll miss a moment while I'm living it, which I can recall on two occasions. One was like a specific moment and another one is a period of my life. The last few months living in Colombia, I deeply remember feeling this and just like being so happy to be in Colombia and not quite being ready to move across the Atlantic Ocean and start a new life, knowing that the one I had was so perfect and so full and so complete. I remember just like every day waking up and being happy with my life and just knowing how difficult it was going to be for me to move on. And then the second time this distinctly happened for me, I mean, maybe it did happen like before, but I didn't care for this experience of nostalgia as much back then. And now I do. So that's why I noticed it. Was this year, I remember, it was the day I finished my first year of university. And I had a concert that day and I managed to sneak in my friends. And life just seemed so good. I was so happy with the year that had just gone by, like proud of my accomplishments, happy with the friends I had by my side, very excited for the upcoming 3 months of holiday. Everything just seemed really perfect. And it kind of hit me that half of my time at Bordeaux had elapsed and how I really had to make the most of the upcoming year because who knows if I would ever live there again. And even if I did live there again, it would be with different people under a different experience. So in my mind, I was really like, okay, you need to make the most of this. You need to max out this experience. Like you need to be in the present moment before it becomes past. And I felt it once again, that ache of knowing I'll miss a moment while I'm living it. And for me, that is the best testimony and example that you're living a life worth living and that you're making the most of the place you're currently at. Like if you feel, for me, I feel very happy and complete when I get that feeling because it's like, okay, you are making the most of this. And even though it will be sad once you move on to a different phase of your life, at least you know that you maxed it out while you could. Frankly, it is quite bittersweet because I know how much I'm appreciating the present. And I honestly know this is what I said would be contradictory. And I obviously know how much I'll inevitably enjoy what's next. Because that's the thing, even though I have a fear that what's next will be worse, the past, like my entire life attests to the fact that even if things are rocky at the start, they do get better. And all of these phases that I mentioned in my life did have very good things to them. So this just is proof that even if a situation seems kind of bad, like I always was able to enjoy that stage. So it doesn't make sense for me to be scared that what's next will be worse because it always turns out okay and I always find a way to enjoy it. But even considering that, it disturbs me that there are different phases of my life. You know, and how you only have one present. You know, you've lived so many versions of your life, but only one of them gets to be the present. And that's so sad to me. The fact that it's all progressing in a forward linear form and that after each phase, you have to make closure with it, you know, and accept that it's no longer the present, but now a past part of your life. And also accepting that you can't go back. In my case, I did kind of find a loophole because I managed to come back to Colombia on the holidays. And it does kind of feel as if I never left. And it does kind of let me escape into a past version of my life. But it won't be like that for all of the phases of my life. So it just really is sad to accept that as life moves forward, you kind of have to make peace with these past versions. And as I said, for me, these past versions of my life are very clear and distinct. But, and I mean, it kind of is due to like external factors like, okay, I finished high school. I lived in this country, you know, things like that. But I feel like they can be found in any life if you want to. I mean, for me, it's helpful to have clear boxes of like stages in my life and you can maybe find them in your life if you want to, if you feel like that's something that will serve you. But there could be people that argue that they don't want to put their life in separate boxes and trace lines between when one stage ends and another begins. And I feel like that could be liberating, because then maybe you don't necessarily feel what I'm talking about, of how like things escape you and things become the past, because it's more of a continuum. But I don't know, that's the way I was wired and I'm happy with it, but I just have to deal with the difficult side that comes with it. I guess I kind of wish that I could experience all my realities at once and kind of like hop back and forth from one to another and feel like I could experience them all in parallel as I wished. And that kind of gets me thinking about the movie About Time, which is one of my favorite movies. Because that's kind of what he gets to do. He gets to jump back and forward in time, with the slight difference that he can do things differently and potentially change the course of his life. But we'll not focus on that. We'll focus on the fact that if he wants to relive a moment, he can go back and do so. But the big revelation at the end of the movie is that knowing that he can jump back and forward in time, he willingly chooses not to. He chooses to live every moment once, as if that first time was him coming back to that day deliberately, wanting to experience it all over again in the most intense way possible. And I feel like that's a very important lesson. Just imagining how if somebody had the opportunity to jump back and forward in their life, they would deliberately wake up every day and live it in the most intense way they could, as if they had come back in time to relive it, but it was actually their first time doing so. So yeah, I guess that sums up all my main concerns about the progression of life. To end on a sort of hopeful note, let's talk about the outlets, I guess, that help me deal with these difficult emotions I've described. The first one, especially, you know, given the fact that I'm on holiday, I'm in my childhood bedroom once again, I have my childhood things at my disposal, especially the diary that I've been keeping for the past few years, what I tend to turn to is journaling. If at the end of the day I'm feeling a mixture of happiness for what I just experienced, but also sadness because it's temporary, I take to my journal and I just write what I did that day, what emotions it evoked in me, how I'm feeling, and just really try to untangle that. I know journaling is praised in various different like aspects and for different reasons, but it is particularly useful at this point of my life to kind of like take mental photographs, as I was talking about before. But it's just, if my concern is the nature of fleeting life and how things are moving so quickly and me wanting to be able to recall them in extreme detail, then the best way for me to deal with that is by finding a way for me to be able to recall those things in extreme detail, and by logging my days and just what I do, what makes them so special, how I feel, what I'm scared about forgetting, what I'm scared about changing, just putting that all down on paper and being able to look back in it with time. And what I do in this activity is, after writing my journal entry, I flip back to a couple of years ago and read my journal entry from then and recall those moments of my life and just evaluate how different my problems are now and how things that were very big to me back then have now scaled down. And it's just a very full circle experience, because it reminds me that in a couple of years I will be reading back on that entry that I just wrote with a different set of eyes. And that even though it will become a part of my past, I will still be able to honor it. Another outlet is this podcast, with a very similar goal, just me capturing the things that concern me at the present moment with the intent of eventually being able to look back on them. And once again, it's that same exercise of just logging the present, keeping a sort of register of the things that concerned me and how I was dealing with them and my discoveries and everything, and just making sure that even though this moment will become a memory, I will have this tangible resource that will allow me to a certain extent, relive those emotions. I also am a huge fan of taking as many photos and videos as I possibly can. I am that annoying friend that's always, you know, trying to capture everything and that you'll kind of roll your eyes at, but then the next day you'll be asking them for the photos and videos that they took. I take that role extremely to heart. And even if nobody else cares about these photos and videos, I know that I take such pleasure in recording them and looking back at them. One of my favorite things to do is to go on my Finsta and look at the a year ago today and just relive all of those moments. And I'm so grateful that I take the time to capture these silly little things and to be able to have them as memories. Because once again, knowing that this moment will then become a memory, at least I have these photos and videos to look back on and kind of remind me of what it was like. And in those flat moments that I described of like being uninspired and thinking to yourself, this is a waste of time, this moment won't be memorable, trying to like ask myself, what would be a memorable use of my time? That happens a lot to me now, like on a random weeknight at 10 p.m. where my family's sleeping, I'm not hanging out with my friends because they have school the next day, and I'm just here like on holiday, kind of on my own. And what I find can make things more memorable in that time, aside from podcasting and journaling, as I already mentioned, is maybe just like taking a course or, you know, like learning something or trying to do something, I guess, kind of like academically or professionally productive in that sense. Because it's like, okay, I'm not gonna make memories with the people I love right now for the reasons I just stated. So maybe I can make this a memorable moment in a different aspect of my life, you know, more academic or career tailored. So it's just understanding that moments can be memorable for different reasons and exploiting that. For me, in my case, I feel like it really fluctuates because there are days where I feel this nostalgia a lot and I lean into it kind of. And then there are days where it's like I've been experiencing this every single day and I just kind of like try to forget it and suppress it because it's exhausting to think about it and deal with it and like take active steps every single day. So I couldn't quite tell you if like leaning into it is a good thing or sometimes just ignoring it. And I honestly couldn't tell you which of those I tend to do more because I feel like it ebbs and flows a lot. But yeah, just to say that I do try to deal with it at times, but it does become quite a pestering thing. So there you have it. Today we had a very therapeutical episode for me, at least. It really helped me to get all of those things off my chest and just discover new revelations as I went along. Today we talked about the fleeting nature of life. At first, I just explained how I feel like the point of life is that it's temporary and that it's constantly evolving, and how that somehow becomes a burden for me in trying to grasp everything as wholeheartedly as I possibly can, which becomes quite a hard task. And that leads us into why it hurts and why it's so painful for me, and just the beautiful experiences that I want to treasure, and knowing that I won't be able to treasure everything perfectly, and just kind of like watching life progress and wanting to experience all of it at the same time and not having to accept everything or anything as culminated or finished, you know? But it being the price I have to pay for trying to categorize my life so clearly into different boxes and different stages as I grow up. And then lastly, we try to end on a happier note and just state what helps me and what activities or strategies or philosophies I have tried to adopt in order to make me feel at peace with the progression of life and not feel guilty for the way things are unraveling or the way I'm feeling about things or just how I'm coping with the present moment. Well, that's about it for this episode. I would like to clarify that I am not a specialist. Everything I share is based off of my experience and what I've learned. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at TheSTPodcast. I'm very active on there. It's a visually aesthetic platform built with interactive spaces for us. Please tag me on your stories and send me pics listening with your tea. Also, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe. Whatever your platform lets you do, it would help me out a lot. Because reviews are the only way I can start growing, getting recommended to new people, and being included in rankings. Plus, I read reviews on here, so if you want to be featured, go on right ahead. Please spread this episode with any friends or family you think will like it. I would love it for you to share your thoughts on this podcast. You can send me a voice message directly through Anchor or through my email, thestpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out for business inquiries and set up sponsorships through there as well. Make sure to check out the show notes. There's a bunch of fun stuff listed down there, alongside with links to everything I mentioned here today. Remember, you can join me every Thursday for a new episode, including the last one of every month with the guest, and an additional bonus monthly Q&A. Thank you for your time and for joining me in my little corner of the internet. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Have a beautiful week and a wonderful existence.